We'll turn again in our Bibles, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And our text this evening is found in verse 4. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record, and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come to his word. Let us seek his face, please. Our gracious Father, we do ask of thee that great help will be given now as we come to thy word. Oh Lord, we pray that we might even be enabled to do the very thing that we have been singing about, that we will trace the great hand of our God, and that we will indeed be left in wonder, love, and praise. Oh, grant that help of the Holy Spirit of God, we pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. The day that David saw the ark brought up into Jerusalem was one of the most memorable days, not only in David's reign, but one of the most memorable days in the entire history of Old Testament Israel. It stands as one of those great days, like the Red Sea crossing, or the defeat of Jericho, the dedication of the temple in the day of Solomon. This certainly was a day to be remembered. Now, while the day itself could and would be remembered as the day that the ark was brought into Jerusalem, David was very conscious that the spiritual significance of that event could very easily be forgotten. And so people might for some time remember the event itself as far as bringing the ark was concerned, but the spiritual significance of it could easily be forgotten and then ignored. And he longed then that the people of God would continually have in remembrance some of the themes that we have already looked at in association with the bringing of the ark into Jerusalem, a token of this covenant relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. As God had been faithful in his covenant, David desired that the nation then would be faithful in remembrance of that covenant that God had with them. Therefore, before the people returned home, David put some important procedures in place. And as I pointed out earlier in the meeting, much of this chapter gives us additional information that is not found in 2 Samuel. And so the information that's covered in the first three verses of the chapter and then verse 43, we are given that information over in 2 Samuel, and we've already noted some of those things. But from verse 4 through to the end of verse 42 is information that is unique to this particular account. And what has been emphasized is that on that glorious day, before David could send the people home, he saw that it was vital that there would be various structures put in place for the good of the nation as a whole. And so he appointed Levites to minister before the Lord and to minister before the ark. He appointed Levites to provide music and singing in connection with the worship and in connection with the ark. He appointed Levites to offer burnt offerings, the morning and evening sacrifice at the altar of burnt offering. If you notice in verse 39, it says, it's the verse 40, to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord upon the altar of the burnt offering continually, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel And this really was David's driving motivation. He wanted to obey the law of God. There had been that great error that had been made when they had that plan of putting the ark in the cart, contrary to the law. And David now was emphasizing then, we want to see to it that God is worshipped as God has ordained. No ingenuity is required, and no ingenuity then was to be allowed. Now, among these instructions that David gave through the chapter was the command that Asaph and others would record. And so we have that in our text in verse 4. He appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record. Now, the Hebrew word there is actually the Hebrew word remember. Minister before the ark of the Lord and to remember, or to be remembering and causing others to remember. And the translators have used this word record to speak of how this remembrance would practically be achieved. And so there would be this remembrance through recording. And the same Hebrew word that's translated record here is used elsewhere in the chapter. If you look in verse 12, it says there, remember his marvelous works. And as you think of that, how would God's marvelous works be remembered? Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Well, one way would be to commit them to writing and for the writing to be reread, and therefore they would be remembered. Verse 15, and be ye mindful, be in remembrance always of his covenant. If you turn over a page or two to chapter 18 of 1 Chronicles, and the verse 15. 1 Chronicles 18, verse 15, and it speaks here, and Joab the son of Zeruiah was over the host, and Jehoshaphat the son of Elihud, recorder. And if you have a margin, you may see there that it could be translated remembrancer, for it's based on this same Hebrew word. This one is referred to there here as a recorder. And it's interesting that that same title is given to Asaph over in the book of Isaiah chapter 36. Isaiah 36 verse 3 and 22. Asaph is there described as the remembrancer, or in the authorized version, the recorder. How would he do this work of remembering and causing others to remember? By recording. And this then was a vital part of the work that Asaph was given to do. He then would take the recording and he would use that in song. Now, as David commissioned Asaph and these other men to be recorders or remembrancers, David actually demonstrated himself how this was to be done. And so not only did he commission these men, but he himself gave them an example of how this was to be achieved. And so if you look at verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Now we'll come to think of this later in the message, but if you look back in verse 4, it says, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise. So the recording would result in thanking and praising. And so what had David done? David had penned this psalm. And as he penned this psalm, he delivered it to Asaph in verse 7, that the Lord might be thanked. And so what I'm suggesting to you here is that David, he commissioned Asaph to be a recorder, and he then demonstrated how this was to be done. For all through this psalm, David is calling various histories and providences, God's general dealings with his people, to mind. And really, David is saying, this is how it is to be done. As there is writing like this, you will be doing that work of a recorder, of a remembrancer. Now, why was it that this was so needed? Because the people were prone to forget. And we are prone to forget the Lord's spiritual blessings upon us. And we need to see then that there is a ministry that the Lord has called us to. The Lord has called us to be remembrancers. That is a ministry that we have to ourselves. We are to remind ourselves, be mindful always of His covenant. We have a duty to ourselves, but then we are also to be engaged in this ministry of remembrance, one toward another. And on this Remembrance Sunday, let us then take these words to heart. Let us be those remembrancers. And so we're looking then at David's answer to our memory problem. We need this deliberate remembering, this recording. I want to think first of all of how we need to remember because we tend to forget. We need to remember because we tend to forget. And David, in using this word in verse 4, record or remember, he is surely putting his finger on the problem. He is saying, there needs to be men who are brought into this office of recorders, of being remembrancers, because the people of God have this general problem of forgetfulness. And our forgetfulness is part of our fallen humanity. And praise God, when we get to glory, it will not only overcome many of the physical infirmities that we might experience here upon earth. There will be no disease or any pain in heaven. But we won't have the memory problem either. The memory problem is part of fallen humanity. And you see, if David had been dealing with unfallen individuals, he wouldn't have needed a recorder. But he needed a recorder, in fact he needed more than one, because even God's people were still suffering this awful effect of the fall, this problem of remembrance. And uppermost among the memory problems that we have is our memory of spiritual blessing. You think of how we don't seem to have much problem remembering sinful and carnal and worldly things. And so if we heard a song that was immoral or had immoral tones in it, we wouldn't struggle to remember the lyrics of that song or the melody of that song. In fact, we would struggle to forget them and to put it out of our head. And that, of course, is emphasizing that this is part of our fallen being, and that we can fill our minds with junk, and that doesn't seem to be a problem. But when it comes to remembering the things that we are to remember, these chief subjects that David brings to view in this psalm, when it comes to those matters, then we do struggle. And therefore, David was saying, to answer the problem of memory, we need to have these recorders, these remembrancers. The sin of forgetfulness is one that is common among the ungodly. A few weeks back we considered Psalm 50 verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God. And we can say of the ungodly, they are forgetters of God. But isn't it true that we sin in that very same area? We forget the things of God. One of the key words of this chapter is the word continually. If you look with me in verse 6, it speaks of Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests with trumpets continually. There was to be this continual sounding. In verse 11, seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face continually. Towards the end of verse 37, it speaks of a ministry before the ark continually. And in the middle of verse 40, there were to be the burnt offerings continually. And the work of God then in the this temporary structure where the ark was now to be housed was one that was continuous. Now that Hebrew word, the word that's translated here in this chapter, continually, is one that is very often associated with the tabernacle worship. If you turn back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25 and the verse 30. And we read here of the showbread, the bread that was set upon the table in the holy place. Exodus 25 verse 30. Thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. It's this same word, continually. And so there wasn't to be a day when that table was without bread. In fact, when the bread was removed, immediately it would be replaced. There was always to be bread there. And as you think of the showbread, it points us to Jesus Christ. And there always had to be bread on the table because Christ is the bread, never ceases to be that. Christ is continuously the bread of life for his people. If you look then in Exodus chapter 25, I'm going to show you a few examples of this word continually. Exodus 27. Exodus 27 verse 20. And here it's dealing with the lampstand, or as is translated in the Authorized Version, the candlestick. And here's to do with the oil. Verse 20. Thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. The lamp wasn't to go out. You'll know that, of course, in relation to the ministry of Samuel. The lamp was to burn continuously. And again, as we think of Christ, he is the light of the world. He is always shining. Therefore, this light had to be kept burning. Chapter 28, verse 29. Chapter 28, verse 29. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And as Aaron would go in then before the Lord, he was to see to it that he would always bear the names on the breastplate. And again, this is speaking of Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor, and he never ceases to pray. In verse 30, towards the end of that verse, it speaks of Aaron bearing the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. The Lord never ceases to pray for us. Our names are always on his heart. He is always carrying our concerns. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Then one more in chapter 29, verse 38. Chapter 29, 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. Verse 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering. And again, there is this idea of a perpetual sacrifice. And all the benefits that Christ has purchased in his redemptive work, they are perpetually there for the people of God. Now, turning back then to 1 Chronicles 16, as we think of this word continually, it is emphasizing that the Lord never forgets. The Lord never ceases in his ministry toward us. But our problem is, we do forget. Therefore, David was exhorting that there would be this continuation in ministry because we have this forgetfulness. What do we forget? In the psalm that David penned here, David shows that we are forgetful of God's faithfulness. Verse 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant. And surely, as he says there, you need to remember the Lord's covenant. You need to remember the Lord's covenant promises, the Lord's faithfulness, because you're prone to forget it. We forget the Lord's grace. In verses 18 and 19, David reminds the people here of how they were brought into Canaan as the land of their inheritance, not because of any greatness about them. Verse 19, it says, when you were few, even a few and strangers in it. The Lord didn't call this nation because of its great strength. The Lord called them in his grace. And just as Israel was undeserving, so are we, but we forget it. We get notions of this idea that we are worthy for what the Lord has done. We forget the Lord's grace, and we forget the Lord's protection. Verses 21 and 22 speak of that, where the Lord suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And the words there are speaking of the nation in its entirety. Now, those words, of course, do at times have a special application to the prophet, but in this case, it's speaking of the nation, that the Lord was saying, you'll not touch my anointed. You'll not touch my anointed people. The congregation of the Lord as a whole knew the Lord's protection. Yet they forgot it. We forget the Lord's reign. Verse 31. Let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. Let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. And it needs to be declared. Because we forget. And then we forget the Lord's goodness. Verse 34. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Now, as we think of the things here that David is showing that we forget, isn't it tragic that we don't forget our troubles? We are slow to forget our failures. We remember the failures of others. There's this awful problem with our memory. And therefore, how wise it was that David said, we need these recorders. And it's emphasizing we need this ministry in our own lives. We need to remember because we tend to forget. Then secondly, we need to remember because of the glory due to God's name. If you look at verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now remember, David is demonstrating this ministry of recording and remembering. And he is saying, you need to remember that you'll give to the Lord the glory due to his name. If you are forgetful, then the Lord's name is not being honored and glorified as it ought to be. And there needs to be this recording in order that the Lord's name would be honored because he is worthy of that honor. David speaks of the enduring mercies of God. Towards the end of verse 34, his mercy endureth forever. At the end of verse 41, because his mercy endureth forever. Those words, I'm sure, will sound familiar. This psalm that David gave to Asaph on this occasion is actually made up of different portions. Portions of different psalms in the Psalter. And so much of the psalm then will indeed sound very familiar. Some of it comes from Psalm 105, some from 96, some from 106, and some from 136. And these words, the Lord's mercy endureth forever, come from that psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. And through the psalm continually there are these words, his mercy endureth forever. Thanksgiving and praise then flows out of the recording. As there is the recording and the remembering, We remember God's mercy endures forever, and we will be enabled to give God some of that glory that is due to his name. Now, if you turn back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, and you have in this chapter the battle with Amalek. Remember how Moses had his hand supported by Aaron and Hur, and through the prayers of God's servant, the enemy was discomfited, as we read in verse 13. But then in verse 14, the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And now you think of those words there in verse 14. Write this for a memorial, for a remembrance in a book. Rehearse it in the ears. And so this event was to be remembered. This event was to be recorded. And as it was recorded, it was the record was to be read. It was to be rehearsed. And surely we can draw some very practical lessons from those words in verse 14. And wouldn't we do well to write down the times when the Lord personally has ministered to us? The times when the Lord personally has blessed us. The times when the Lord personally has intervened for us. At times I have written down various scriptures that the Lord has spoken very clearly through, certainly in that time leading up to my call to the ministry, or in those times when the Lord was calling me to the ministry, I kept a record of those texts. I must confess that I haven't done this enough. We need to record the Lord's blessing, that we can look back and say, the Lord certainly did minister in my life at that particular time. And as Israel so often was reminded of their history, they were to trace God's hand, God's finger in their past. Surely we would do well to do the very same thing. I don't know if any of you have ever kept a journal. I did that once when I was on a trip as a young person. But I didn't just record the facts of the trip. I recorded some of my feelings, and later I look back with regret at some of the foolish things that I wrote in that book, and I destroyed it and gave it up as a bad idea because it was so inward focused. And that's not the writing that David was encouraging here. The writing is something that is focused on God. This is what the Lord has done for me. And so I'm not so much attacking journals, but they do have that danger of being focused inwardly. This writing is to be focused upon what the Lord has done for us. How often our memory muscles are left without exercise. Surely David is exhorting us to get into that spiritual gym. Record what the Lord has done. Remember, we can talk about church. And we can talk about church organization. We can talk about ethical issues. Too seldom do we talk about the wonderful works of God. But we ought to, because it will lead us to praise, and the Lord is worthy of all praise. David, he exhorted that there would be this remembrance, that the Lord indeed would be thanked and praised. We need to remember because we tend to forget. We need to remember because of the glory due to God's name. And finally, we need to remember so we anticipate God's intervention again. For David wanted this day, the bringing of the ark into Jerusalem, to be remembered. Not just that people in generations to come would look back and say, what a great God Jehovah was in our history. Now they were, of course, to do that. But David longed that in days to come, that God's people would say, our God intervened in our history. We cry to him to do it again. If you look with me then in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 35, coming to the conclusion of David's song, he says, and say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. And as if David is saying, we can give God thanks today for what he's done on this occasion. But we need an up-to-date experience with God. We need God to move again. And at the time David penned those words, there were no armies outside Jerusalem. Yet he recognized that danger is never far away from the people of God. There's danger that can come from within. He acknowledged that in those words. He said, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together. There's a proneness among God's people to allow division to come in among us. And he is saying, unite us. Keep us from division. And really what he is saying then is that as the Lord has blessed us on this day, may we prove him again. There can be internal danger and external. He goes on to say, deliver us from the heathen. How can we live effectively for God in the present? How can we live effectively for God in the future? By a proper reflection on the past. And tragically, for some of God's people, their experience of God is only past. And they can only look back and they have nothing, as it were, to speak of what the Lord is doing in their lives now. The psalmist here, as David recorded these words, he certainly did not desire that to be. He wanted God's people to have a continuous, up-to-date relationship with the Lord, looking back, tracing God's hand in the past, and looking for the hand of God to be experienced again at that time. And surely that was one of the ideas behind having Remembrance Sunday. That in order to avoid the tragedies of the past, that we would remember the past in order to walk right in the present. I fear that we haven't learned enough and that our nation sadly seems to be pushing the self-destruct button in these days. And the great idea behind Remembrance Sunday, while the day hasn't lost its popularity, the great idea behind it certainly seems to have been lost. That's certainly true spiritually. We remember perhaps some blessings of the past, but we are to remember them in such a way that we seek to experience God's hand again. We were reading earlier in Exodus chapter 17, where Moses was instructed, write this for a memorial in a book. And it goes on to say, I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Write this in a book. Remember this. Because there are more battles to be fought with Amalek. And ultimately victory will be given. Remember this battle. Because one day Amalek will be forgotten. Amalek will be put out of remembrance. If you could turn with me please to Malachi 3, as we come to a close. Malachi and the chapter 3, and again we have here this idea of remembrance. Malachi 3 and the verse 16. Malachi 3 and the verse 16. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And surely this is part of that recording.
They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. They were reminding each other, bringing various things to remembrance. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and the thought upon his name. And surely what has been said here is that as these God-fearers talked, as they were remembrancers, the Lord remembered them. And surely it has this idea again that here were a people that were experiencing God afresh in their time. A book of remembrance was written. As they had not forgotten the Lord had not forgotten them. And the Lord would use them again. Oh, that we would be these remembrancers. Those that fear the Lord, speaking one to another. Doesn't it remind us of those words in Colossians 3 verse 16, where it speaks of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There is to be this ministry of recording, remembering, reminding one another. Back when I was in college, sometimes the students would have talked about some of the exam material before going into the exam. A conversation that took place just before going into the exam would have been the bit that was remembered, because there was discussion involved. I sometimes didn't really catch on to this until it was maybe too late, but if students talk to each other about the material, they're more likely to remember it than just studying it by themselves. There is this reminding one of another. We are to reflect on what God has done, expecting his intervention again. As we think of these words of David appointing these remembrancers, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Remember, this recording was centered in the ark. And later in the chapter, we're brought to think upon the altar. It's all to do then with the shed blood, the application of blood to the mercy seat. It's all speaking of Calvary. If there is anything that we are to remember, surely it is Calvary. Isn't that something that we are prone to forget? The Lord himself identified that when he said, "This do in remembrance of me." We're prone to forget Calvary. The Lord has given the table that we might remember. When all thy mercies, O my God, my rising soul surveys, transported with the view, I'm lost in wonder, love, and praise. May the Lord help us to trace his mercies, to survey them, and may we indeed be those remembrancers then left in wonder, love, and praise. We trust that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Amen.